Shalom to all and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you so much and shalom to all. Isn't it good to be alive to perhaps witness the soon return of the Lord?
It sure looks like we are in that last generation.
Today we are back to studying the minor prophets, of which we are now in the book of Micah. But first, as always, let us bow our hearts to the Lord.
Okay. Abba, Father, and God Almighty, may your Holy Spirit of power encompass your bride as so many are suffering afflictions and need your comforter to carry them through, and one day stand tall in your kingdom as victorious soldiers of Christ who overcomes the enemy by the blood of Jesus. We will always continue to lift up our loved ones for their salvation. Please do whatever it takes for their repentance. We also pray for the many persecuted Christians in the world and the new Muslim believers, many who will experience martyrdom. Bless today's teaching, and may it bring a smile to your countenance. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And yes, Muslims are indeed coming to the Lord, often through dreams and visions as prophesied by Joel. However, many are being martyred because of it. But just think of how happy they must be that they were able to recognize the truth and just in time.
Yeah, they gave their life for the real God.
For the real God, yep. It does infuriate me, though, and all of us, who saw that disturbing video on Fox News last week, that right here in the United States, Muslim children are being taught hateful anti-Semitism in a mosque in Philadelphia, where these precious children were singing about chopping heads off of Jews for Allah.
Why is that allowed anywhere, but especially here in America?
Well, it is in Satan's DNA to go after the children.
Yes, it is. Well, the video is on the internet, but very disheartening to watch.
For sure. Brought tears to my eyes. So also, right here in America, look what's happening to our children in California. Their government school officials are, and who they think is really important, teaching our impressionable children about pedophilia. Yeah, you heard it. In the classroom. Because, they say, it's a sexual orientation choice. No wonder Christian schools are growing.
Yeah, such a sick world.
Judgment is surely on its way. And by the way, many states are teaching some form of favorable Islam in the grade schools right now.
So things got real heated in southern Israel over the weekend.
Yes. To usher in the start of Ramadan, Gazan terrorists fired off approximately 700 rockets into Israel, killing 4 Israelis, but injuring over 200. Now, Israel did retaliate by hitting many of Hamas buildings, towers, and their headquarters, and they took out a few senior leaders, and a terrorist who is actually called the cash carrier, who brings money into Gaza from Iran. But there are two major factions right now in Gaza. Hamas, who has been there for years and who pushed Abbas's Fatah faction out of Gaza, who then moved totally to the West Bank. But then there's also the Islamic Jihad, who are funded and actually came from Iran.
And who began this latest barrage.
Yes. Iran wanted to hit Israel harder now because Israel is our ally. And Iran is suffering big time from the current uptick of our sanctions against them. But by Monday morning, as is always the case, Hamas asked for a ceasefire, which Israel, as always, said, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, in another month or so, it all starts up all over again.
Probably. And we talk about this all the time and wonder why Israel, especially now since the elections are over, just doesn't go in there and take over Gaza.
Well, the innocent would probably welcome it.
Oh, yeah. But Israel at this point doesn't really want Gaza back and certainly doesn't want to put their soldiers in harm's way if not absolutely necessary.
And Bibi is careful not to fall into a trap from Iran.
For sure. to being tied up in a war that would prevent them from being available for perhaps an even bigger war with Iran itself, especially since as we watch our USS Abraham Lincoln air and sea strike forces moving toward the Persian Gulf in response to what it described as troubling and escalating indications and warnings from Iran.
Our intelligence suspects they will try to attack our 5,000 troops in Iraq.
And another thought, Netanyahu agreed to the ceasefire perhaps because he is waiting for the coming peace deal, which of course will address all this.
And didn't Saudi Arabia offer Abbas $10 billion to sign the coming agreement and move its headquarters to Abu Dhabi?
Abu Dhabi, yeah.
Abu Dhabi.
Just about, I can't even believe it, but so far he turned it down. Either way, the Palestinians will not solely get the Temple Mount because it's going international. Israel will have to give up its sovereignty over this area, although we'll be allowed to build its temple, and we know that because of Scripture, Revelation 11 and Daniel 9. But we are supposed to know about all that pretty soon.
Anyhow, Ramadan is starting out with a bang, a real bang.
Pun intended?
Yes.
Well, with that said, we see that over here, we are looking forward to the day that President Trump is totally vindicated as the Republicans are finally investigating the investigators.
But the Dems, especially Congressman Nadler, are still trying everything they can to continue this harassment.
That's an understatement.
Uh-huh.
Nadler, head of this witch hunt investigation, wants all of Trump's financial records. But what has recently come to light is that Nadler has a son whose firm is trying to get access to Trump documents for his clients that are involved in numerous lawsuits against, guess who?
Donald Trump.
That is correct. So we see a definite conflict of interest.
Well, Nadler should recuse himself.
But he won't. And instead is about to begin contempt proceedings against Attorney General Barr this week for failing to produce an unredacted copy of the Mueller report to their committee. But you can always watch Hannity for more details because we need to get into our Bible study.
Yeah, the Book of Micah.
Right after you tell our listeners how they can contact us.
Okay, you can read the many newsletters or listen to any previous programs on our webpage, shofarministries.net. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please know how much we truly appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
And by the way, thanks to all of you who came out last Friday for our End Times Teaching and Open Forum Night.
Yeah, that was fun.
We will do it again just before the fall feast on Friday night, September 6th.
We will for sure have a lot to talk about by then.
You think?
Mm-hmm. And since it's not recorded, we can be even more open with what we say.
That is true, and we do.
Okay, the 8th century prophet Micah, he's a little different than the other minor prophets, right?
Yes, because Micah also preached a coming judgment, and the people of Judah did repent, contrary to the northern 10 tribes where Isaiah also had been warning. So as a result, the Assyrians in 722 BC attacked and captured the northern tribes because they didn't repent, but they left Judah alone.
For about 100 years.
Right, because then a new future generation, well, they messed up and God had to send Babylon to them.
They should have had a better knowledge of history.
Right. And we read in Jeremiah chapter 3, he says, "Why did you do that after seeing what happened to your sister up north?" You know, Jonah, as we looked at a few weeks ago, also had a success story who reluctantly went to the Gentiles this time in Nineveh. And they did repent.
Also, for just a while.
Right. About 50 years, when the Medes, who were for a short time in cahoots with the Babylonians, conquered them around 612 BC.
Interesting how America is being warned right now, and most people are not heeding the warning.
Not many. And in fact, just like in the Old Testament, it seems that the false prophets, well, they do get stronger, going forth words of false hopes as the judgments get closer to fulfillment.
As it did in Jeremiah's day concerning Babylon.
He was even imprisoned. Mm-hmm. And today, we see it as well, where some false prophets are prophesying that everything will be all right and revival is a sure thing all across America. Yes, there are some small groups, and there always will be. But the Bible says evil will increase and become stronger in the last days.
Well, but maybe they don't understand we are in the last days.
Where are their eyes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Look at the spike in gross immorality, mm-hmm. the new diseases, infanticide, anti-Semitism, calling evil a good thing, as prophesied in Isaiah 5, and all the other numerous signs.
Hmm. Again, we know there are small pockets of people getting saved all over the world.
For sure. Especially, as we said, Muslims. 100 here, 100 there, and that's very good. But it's still small in comparison to world population. So with that said, praise the Lord, there will always be a remnant getting saved.
With a huge number in the tribulation.
As recorded in Revelation 7, verse 9. In fact, so many that John couldn't even count them all. This time, though, before judgment, God will remove all the true Christians just prior to his wrath over the sin of rejecting his son. And Micah has a very telling prophecy about our removal.
Yes, he does. In his last chapter, I believe.
Yep. And another point we should make is that false prophets are more liked and accepted because they say, good times are coming, because it's what most want to hear.
Yeah, I think that's called ear tickling.
Yes. Even though Jesus gave some dire prophecies that the Pharisees sure didn't like.
Yeah, as in the downfall of Jerusalem.
And many others. Anyhow, back to Micah.
Whose name means like Yahweh.
Who was like Yahweh, you're right. Yes, and Micah gives many prophecies in just 7 chapters.
Some already fulfilled, some not.
And we can only scratch the surface, of course, but we will continue in Micah next week. But we should be able, I believe, to stir you up so you will do your own complete study. Micah in the south and Isaiah up north, they were contemporaries and they probably knew each other.
Or at least about each other. What was Micah's time span?
Approximately 737 through 690 B.C., over a period of 3 reigning kings. The mighty warrior Jotham, his son, the very wicked, immoral Ahaz, who even burned his own children to Molech.
But then the next son, Hezekiah.
Yes, who had a mind for God and because of that witnessed some amazing miracles. So Micah begins his book by exposing their sins, then conveys punishment if no repentance, and finally the hope of restoration. Not just in their time, but we see Micah jumping ahead to prophesying the final days as well.
Yeah, in fact, I saw many future prophecies strewn throughout the chapters.
Yes. And we know when it's very future because Micah uses our familiar term, in that day, which always means the last 1,000 years of history or the 7th day that begins with darkness of the tribulation period on earth for 7 years and finishes with the light of Jesus' return to set up his kingdom for the remaining 993 years of his kingdom on earth.
Amen.
Okay, the first chapter shows Micah receiving the message from God that Samaria in the northern kingdom will be destroyed for harlotry.
There are many idols on high places.
And it did. It became a heap of ruins from the Assyrian army, where some of the people were killed and the rest were taken to Assyria and later dispersed throughout the many lands. Micah, mostly naked, would wail over this and warn Jerusalem it would happen to them as well if they did not repent. And they should repent in ashes with a bald head of shame, because that's how they did it in those days. In chapter 2, Micah also calls out the iniquity of covetousness and the seizing of properties using violence while rejecting the word of the true prophets, but sure enough accepting the false prophets who prophesy, well, it's going to be great, days of wine and drink. Sound familiar? We have that today too. Then in verse 4 of chapter 2, Micah uses the term again, in that day. So this similar judgment will happen again in the tribulation. And if you read Revelation, you should certainly know that. And by the way, you wouldn't even see that in Micah if you didn't know about that particular idiom or Hebraic roots phrase, in that day. It's an important thing to remember. But as always, a remnant shall be restored and gathered like sheep. God always has a remnant. He also has a remnant all the time that desire the deeper truths of God, like I think you all might because you're listening today. Anyway, continuing in chapter 3, Micah really lays into the wicked now. Those wicked rulers and reveals, get this, their cannibalism. And they would use their own people. Do you know that cannibalism is still practiced today, right here in America? It's part of also ritualistic ceremonies called spirit cooking, and they even drink the blood as well. Satan's minions are alive and well everywhere. They always have been. And remember Ephesians 6. Anyway, Micah spares no words, and you really can't take it any other way when you read it. It's very plain. And then Micah calls out the false prophets profusely for bribery, and he specifically says how they say no harm is coming, but they lie. And, of course, whose total demise is eventually a sure thing. We know that. Micah closes chapter 3 by giving a future prophecy, not of the very end times, but what would and indeed did happen in 70 AD. And it's the prophecy when Jerusalem and the temple became a heap of ruins. And we know who did that. It was the Romans. Now in chapter 4, we see Micah jumping to the very latter days, describing the millennial kingdom and how Jerusalem will be restored high upon the mountain, and many will come to the house of our Lord, and he will be there in the new, as a new king and a judge. No more fighting, no more wars. It's going to be really great. In verse 4 of chapter 4, Micah uses a familiar phrase where he describes those being in the kingdom as sitting under his vine and under his fig tree, which are symbols for Israel during the millennial kingdom, particularly. Now, it might sound real familiar to you because in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 48, we see Jesus telling Nathanael that he saw him sitting under the fig tree. So he's given him a prophecy that he would be in his kingdom someday. And you know what? That someday is right around the corner. And then, still in chapter 4, verse 9, and the first part of verse 10, Micah prophesies of the tribulation. And we know that because, again, he uses particular phrases that denotes it with the words. He uses the pangs, P-A-N-G-S, the pangs of a woman in labor, which is always an idiomatic expression to mean the tribulation period. Always. And we know that's when Israel will suffer like birth pangs, but it will bring her to birth. What is that birth? It's the new birth of salvation. And it happens during the tribulation. Now, by the last sentence of verse 10, he says that first they would go as captives to Babylon, and we know that they did. But they would be delivered, and they actually were delivered after 70 years. And then, of course, they returned back to, well, a lot of them returned back to Israel, but we can give thanks to King Cyrus for that, which they did, because he allowed them to go back, and he told them, and he even gave them money and materials to not only rebuild Jerusalem, but to build their temple. And, of course, you can read all about that in the book of Ezra. So then finishing in chapter 4, in verses 11, 12, and 13, Micah brings them back to the present day and informs them that they will be victorious against their current neighboring enemies. And they were. So, next week we will continue and cover chapters 5, 6, and 7. Actually, those are my favorite chapters of Micah. It's got a lot of prophecies about the first coming of Christ, even where he would be born, and more about Israel's spiritual birth as a whole. And we'll visit some confirming scriptures. Actually, we'll be looking at quite a few of them. And take apart my favorite Old Testament rapture scripture in Micah chapter 7. It really is my favorite. And we'll look at that next week. But in the meantime, really, please read the whole book of Micah before next week. And if you have any questions at all, email me at Sheila@shofarministries.net. And we might answer your question on the air. Also, if you have any specific important prayer requests, feel free to email me with those as well. And we will pray for you. Now, the major question is, as I always leave the program, is who has your heart? I mean, really has your heart? And how well do you know him personally? It's a personal relationship. So, is he really personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Get on your knees right now and invite him into your heart. And then just read the Bible. Just get to know him, because he's your only Savior. There is no other. He's totally paid off your debt for all your sins. Unless, of course, you'd rather pay it yourself, which is pretty silly. So don't be foolish. It's always your choice, though. Make that choice today. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that wonderful, wonderful shalom, true peace. Until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in every way possible. And you should memorize that. It's Psalm 122, verse 6. See you next week. Get in your word and witness to somebody. Shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.